Mid-afternoon already, and they'd hardly made a dent in the day's work. Lord Thornbuckle leaned back in his chair.
I could be angry with Kentry about this, too. Because he was an idiot, I have to sit here doing his work.
Kevil Mahoney, formerly an independent and successful attorney, had agreed to help his friend in the political crisis left by the king's resignation.
You wanted the job. Am I supposed to sympathize? I could be in court showing off.
As if you'd miss it. No, we're doing the right thing, if we can pull it off.
If? The eminent Lord Thornbuckle has doubts.
Your old friend Bunny has doubts. Nothing makes a rabbit nervous like the predator who pretends not to see him. We haven't heard anything from the Benignity. By now, I expected at least one raid.
Don't stare at that fox too long, my friend. There are wolves in the world, too.
As if I didn't know. Yes?
Sorry, my lord. An urgent signal from Patchcock. Shall I transfer or bring it in?
Bring it. And the coffee, if it's ready.
He would have that, at least, no matter what the trouble was. One of the senior clerks, Poisson, he thought the name was, came in with a cube, followed by two juniors with a trolley. Poisson waited until they had left before handing over the cube.
It's partly encrypted, my lord, but I read the part that wasn't. It's the same region on Patchcock where the troubles were before, and apparently a family heir has gone missing.
Bunny could hear the capital letter that elevated mere genetic relationship to political power. Not just a family, but a family. One of the chair-holding families.
Otala Moraline, the second oldest but designated heir of...
Oscar and Vitilla Moraline, Vorisept of the Consulines, right.
One of his own daughter's schoolmates. He remembered Bubbles... No, she was calling herself Brun now, talking about her. Brun hadn't liked her. He remembered that much, though he didn't remember why. The Consulines. That extended family had over a dozen chairs in council. The Vorisept, though the minor branch, had five. The Moralines held four of them.
Kidnapped?
Ah, no. It seems she had disguised herself as a Finvardian and infiltrated a workers' group.
A Moraline?
The Moralines had, for the past two centuries at least, chosen to emphasize their darker ancestry. And the video of Otala that came up when he inserted the cube showed a dark-skinned, dark-haired young woman. A beauty, Bunny noted, remembering now that he had seen her at some social function a year or so before. She had matured, as Brun had, showing more bone structure. But how had this girl imitated a pale, blue-eyed Finvardian?
The family located the skin sculptor. She bought a 400-day depigmentation package, bleached her hair, wore blue contact lenses.
Why didn't she get an eye job while she was at it? What if she dropped a lens?
I couldn't say, sir. When she didn't turn up for her younger brother's Seagrin, the family popped her emergency cash and found her last report. She included a vid of herself after she adopted the disguise and said she planned to involve herself in a workers' organization to see what it felt like.
Bunny watched the cube read out. Otala's disguised self looked very different, he had to admit. If not quite Finvardian, at least nothing like the Moraline heir. He wondered if she'd had a temporary bone job, too. Her face seemed to have changed shape as well as color. According to the readout, she had had no trouble buying false IDs and getting a job in an assembly factory on Patchcock. But she'd dropped out of sight, without notice to her work supervisor or anyone else, some 40 days before her family came looking.
The problem, my lord, is that it's Patchcock.
Yes?
I don't know if you knew all about Patchcock.
Not really. It was a nasty situation, is all I know. And someone in the regular space service messed up in a major way.
I think perhaps you need to read the background briefs.
That was far more assertive than Poisson's usual approach, and Bunny stared.
Very well. If you...
Here they are.
A stack of cubes it would take him hours to wade through, all marked with the security code that meant they were encrypted and could be read only with all the room's security systems engaged. Bunny glanced at Kevil.
Do not remind me again that I volunteered for this job. I could cheerfully strangle his late majesty.
Poisson, he noticed, had the look he had always imagined concealed satisfaction at landing responsibility on someone else. The Patchcock affair, when they finally got it straight late that night, explained a lot of things. Many more than were explicated in the cubes, revealing as those were.
That had to be the stupidest thing Otala could have done. Going undercover in a workers' organization would be risky enough right here in Castle Rock. But on Patchcock? Didn't she know any history?
We didn't. If she thought it was just a military blunder, if she didn't know how her family came to gain control of the investments there...
She must be dead, you know. If she were alive, she'd have refreshed her emergency cash.
Couldn't she be a captive? Held for ransom?
No. My criminal experience tells me she's dead. They found her out somehow, stripped her of any information they could pry out, and killed her. Eventually, the Morlines will figure that out too, and then... Then we'll have real trouble.
Yes.
Bunny thought about the Morlines. He knew them in the casual way that all the chairholders knew each other, but they were not really in his set. They didn't hunt, for one thing. But he had dealt with them more than once in business, and in the council. They were tough, aggressive, and very sore losers. That this could be a self-description, he recognized, but that didn't make the prospect of angry Morlines any more appealing.
If we sent Fleet back in there, it would only make things worse.
If she's dead already.
But Bunny had to know what Otala Morline had found, even if he couldn't bring her back. He stretched his back out. The whole situation he'd inherited, jumped into, he reminded himself, felt dangerously mushy. Too many things he didn't know, past and present. Too many ways to make mistakes, even if he did know everything. And the image of his daughter Brun intruded. Brun had already involved herself in wild adventures, working her way across familiar space as an ordinary spacer. If Brun heard about this, she would insist on going herself to find out about Otala. Where could he park her safely?
At least it'll be a change from this stupid bickering about rejuvenation. Those poor bastards in the mines and factories on Patchcock have more substantial concerns.
Bunny nodded, but his thoughts kept running to Brun. Finally, he thought of the one thing he might be able to do. In the morning, he would place a call to Harris Serrano.
I must thank you again for whatever you said to my daughter.
Lord Thornbuckle didn't look much like Bunny in his dark formal suit in the paneled office. He didn't intend to.
She was, I'm sure, about to do something rash. What she told me afterwards was that she'd planned to run away and join the regular space service anonymously. But I expect it was worse than that.
No, or at least that's what she told me.
Harris Serrano had been aboard the yacht, supervising the last of its refitting. Her office aboard looked nothing like his. On the wall behind her were only a military-grade chronometer and the framed certificates of her rating. She had a new uniform, not the loud purple Lady Cecilia had once used, but the same competent expression, the same intelligent dark eyes.
She outgrew herself in a hurry on the island.
I know. And she seems to have inherited ancestral temptations to adventure. You know how she got to Rockhouse Major from Rotterdam?
Shoveling manure on a livestock hauler, yes. Even the unpleasantness she got into didn't dissuade her. And now she wants to use some of her inheritance to finance a small expedition. A small ship, rather, on which she intends to wander around looking for excitement. Responsibly, she assures me. Nothing wild of the sort she did in her youth.
Youth. The girl's barely old enough to consider a seat in council. And you'd think she was 50.
She did come through safely, sir.
Yes, I know. And I know it means she's inherited, no doubt from the same ancestors, the ability to survive adventure. But I'm not sure I can survive her acquisition of the necessary experience. Not without knowing there's someone with more expertise and more... maturity to help her out of the tight spots she's so determined to get into. Even Thornbuckles have limits to their luck.
You were thinking that I might know someone with the right skills to accompany her?
I thought you might be that person. Not that alone. I know you'll be traveling with Ceci. But she said she wanted to do more than make the various horse events. And I wondered if you'd let Brun come along. As an employee or passenger or whatever you like. I would, of course, pay her passage.
No, sir, don't pay her passage. If she's set on adventuring, she might as well earn her own way. She's already proved she could. I assume she has an allowance. Let her use that if she wants.
Right, fine. Then you'll take her?
I don't know.
She had liked Brunn well enough, he knew, but clearly she was thinking about the difficulties inherent in mixing a girl like Brunn into a crew already facing difficult adjustments. She wouldn't want trouble. She had had enough already.
I'm not sure I'm the right person.
Lord Thornbuckle leaned over and touched his desk. He gestured to the row of red lights that came on and waited for her look of recognition.
Harris, let me tell you something that must remain a secret. A young woman Brune knows, new, a schoolmate, went off on an adventure, joined a workers' organization over on Patchcock, and got herself killed when she was discovered. Brune doesn't know. We've managed to suppress it. But the girl's family is furious with me. They wanted me to send the RSS to Patchcock again.
Harris stared. She could easily imagine the carnage. It had been bad enough the first time.
That's not wise, sir.
No, I understand that. I've seen the classified briefings. The thing is, Brune's the ideal hostage to use against me. Either side might try it. She's too old to send home. She wouldn't stay, and I can't tell her about Atala. I know she won't be safe, really safe, anywhere. But you might be able to keep her safer than anyone else.
All right. I'm willing to have her aboard, if she's willing to come. I'm not about to Shanghai her.
Oh, she's willing. Apparently she made some friends in your crew, didn't she?
Sirkin, I suppose. At least they went around together for a while, but that was our plan. A way that Brune could pass information about Lady Cecilia to me indirectly. I wouldn't have called it a friendship. Sirkin's lover had just died, but it's something. All right. I suppose Brune could have considered it a friendship. I'll list her as unskilled crew and let them teach her some things, if that's acceptable.
Good. On top of everything else, I'll be glad to have her out of pocket while the political situation is so uncertain.